Okay, so we're back. We're going to do some football talk. We didn't want to go too long and completely put a three-hour episode out there. So bonus Whiskey Congress.
Bonus track, kids.
And we're drinking a new whiskey. We're back to our, well, not a new one, the Port Charlotte heavily peated scotch that we had a week ago, which is fucking great. So
still
we're drinking
good.
Great whiskey tonight, buddy.
Yeah, we're knocking out of the park. Like, do you realize what this night would have cost us if we were at a bar?
Oh, my goodness.
But between the McAllen and the Blantons.
The McAllen and Blantons
Well, as long as we weren't in Youngstown.
or at our favorite, the patio where we met, yeah.
But, a night like this.
In a legit bar, we'd be paying
$15
to $20 per drink,
yeah,
at least.
We'd be in the, couple hundreds.
If not more.
If not, because chances are we would have eaten and the whole thing. So,
yes.
Before we get to, some of the sports stuff, there was a story that really started to materialize yesterday and today about a situation in Dallas, Texas, where a police officer walked into allegedly what she thought was her apartment. Black man opens the door and she shoots and kills him. Turns out it was his apartment. She was not only at the wrong door, she was on the wrong floor in her apartment building.
Okay, I know nothing about this.
Yeah, so I saw this starting to kind of materialize on Twitter. Sean King had put something out about it. And so I was working and busy doing what I do at work. And, I looked at it and said, huh. So then I get home from work today. And I turn on NBC News, nightly news, and there the story is again. This police officer, we don't have a clear timeline. We don't know what time her shift was over. But what we do know is that she had a weapon on her, a firearm, whether it's her service pistol or whatever.
I mean, almost all off-duty cops carry when they're not on duty.
So,
I think they're required to in a lot of them.
So here's the weird thing, though. So when I was watching NBC News, it's one of those places where, everything is by a key fob. Now, if you don't know what I do, I build multifamily housing, right? Developer.
Right.
And so I've used this technology before. We've put it in buildings that we've built in the past, and you use a key fob. It's just a little gray thing. You swipe it past a gray magnetic board. It opens sliding doors for you to get in the building. And then you use it on the elevator. It takes you up. It takes you to a floor. And then, to get into your apartment or to get into your unit, you slide it across the lock. The light goes from red to green.
I use that for enough hotel rooms.
For hotel rooms, you use it for red. It switches from red to green. You go in. Right? And they showed it on NBC News. And so how this woman gets to this point, like, if it doesn't work, right? Because it didn't work, and this is where I'm confused, right? You use your key fob over the lock, it doesn't work. So did she knock on the door, or did he hear someone trying to swipe their key
and open the door?
Did he hear the key fob thing,
right?
Like saying no. Open the door, like, hey, what are you doing? And then she pulls and shoots, right? Like, So
it's in her apartment building.
So she lives. She lives in the building. She's on the wrong floor and at the wrong apartment.
Wow!
Right?
And she shoots and kills this guy.
Kills him. She shoots him. He's taken to the hospital, and then he dies at the hospital.
All right.
His name is Botham Shim John. He's from originally from St. Lucia.
Okay, so it sounds Caribbean. I was say Haitian, but Caribbean. And
he's there's nothing.
And what's her background? Do we know?
She's a cop. We don't even know. All we know is she's a woman. We know nothing else about her. They haven't released a name. We don't know age, race, any of that stuff. What we do know about him: avid churchgoer. He worked for Price Waterhouse.
Wow.
There's no, like, this guy wasn't a bad guy. So the question is, what the fuck happened here? Now, I know some people, some people on the far left are saying that it was an organized hit. Like, he worked for Price Waterhouse. I mean, unless he was about to blow the whistle on some crazy accounting stuff, then I'm not sure that he was assassinated. But It's just...
It's a crazy... That's crazy. I mean, I know nothing about it until you brought it to my attention, but damn.
And I don't know where to put it on the scale of, you know, the things that we talk about. Police
violence and...
Is this police violence? What is this? But, I mean, I think you can make an argument for, you know, this woman felt that this guy was a threat. And now, here's what we don't know. We haven't seen a toxicology test, so we don't know if she was drunk. We don't know if she had any drugs or anything in her system. They did draw her blood at the scene, and so that is pending.
This now, is something we should follow up on for sure.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, wow. Because I think the thing that comes to mind, she got off her shift, she went for some drinks somewhere, or met up with some people, whatever, she had some drinks, she probably was a little bit more lit up than she thought she was. Because to be on the wrong floor, because people, maybe she was really tired. Listen, you and I have spent a lot of time in hotels, and...
Well, I've got on the wrong floor when I was really tired. I was also really drunk.
Right. I mean, like, being really tired, I've never gone to the wrong floor.
Without the accompaniment.
But that's a also, it's a hotel, right?
This is her apartment. This is where she lives.
Right? Like, I mean, there's certain things you can do, even tired and even drunk, where, you know, there's certain things that kind of go on autopilot. When you live in a place for
3 days versus however, I mean, it's your home.
Now, if she just moved there in the last week, okay, maybe we'll give her a pass. Again, there's a lot of things we don't know, but I think it's worth mentioning. And the fact that, you know, you're in your apartment building, just, oh, well, I mean, there are people out there defending her, like, well, I mean, if she thought it was her home and this large black man opens the door, and I don't even know. I mean, I saw a picture of him. He doesn't look large. He's an average guy. But it's not like it's me opening your door. You know what I mean? Like, so I get it. She's a woman. But the idea that this woman was able to figure out that this guy who opened the door shouldn't have been there, but couldn't figure out that the apartment she was looking into wasn't her own. If she was that focused on him and not everything surrounding him inside the apartment, my thought process is that it wouldn't surprise me if her toxicology report came back hot for something.
I agree. You know, I'm hesitant to speculate because there's so many variables in the story and I don't know.
How about
enough.
This? It better come back. She better have been drunk. Right? I mean, because that doesn't make anything better, but I would feel. Because now I get very uncomfortable.
We don't know the race of the officer, or we do?
No, we don't know. Okay. I mean, I think a lot of people, we're making a lot of assumptions. But the race of the officer really doesn't matter. Because if you think about policing as a whole, I mean, we've had enough conversations with Mike Wood Jr., and we need to get him back on because we haven't talked to him forever on the show. And I would love to talk to him about this because I don't, even if the officer, even if she is black, it doesn't matter and it doesn't change the conversation about how policing needs to change. The conversation isn't white policing needs to change. The conversation is that policing needs to change.
Agreed.
Because there's plenty of incidences where, especially incidents where you have black officers that are involved in police brutality, police shootings, or what have you. It's the culture and it's the institution. It's not the race of the officer doesn't matter. It's the actual institution of policing itself that needs an entire wholesale culture shift in a new direction. So whether her race really doesn't matter because chances are she has the same biases towards black men as a white female officer, as a white male officer, a black male officer, like they all have the same biases against black men when they see them. If you see them, then chances are you're going to have to shoot as opposed to anyone else or any other option.
You know, all right. We need to stay on this and pick it up next show when we know more. But that's an excellent lead into the NFL. But before we get there, to Colin Kaepernick, Nike, and that story, because Colin Kaepernick started off protesting, not even protesting. He started off just not standing for the anthem, and then he started protesting by taking a knee during the anthem. We've talked about Nate Boyer. That story still, I think you and I disagree on how well that has been understood and appreciated by the public, that his kneeling for the anthem started because he wanted to show respect for the military and respect for America. Well,
listen, I mean, we can have the conversation. I mean, listen,
we've had
Nate,
it.
Nate Boyer went to Colin Kaepernick
let's be clear who Nate Boyer is. Nate Boyer was a Green Beret who went to the University of Texas, became a long snapper for the Seattle Seahawks, saw the Colin Kaepernick sit during the anthem protest, and got mad.
Yep.
And he said, I really don't like this.
So he reached out and he sent Colin Kaepernick a letter.
Right.
And Colin Kaepernick responded and said, hey, listen, one, I appreciate your service. I respect the fact that you've reached out to me. How can I do this better? Right.
And I think they met face to face. No, San they Diego. Met.
Right. Like, so Nate Boyer sent Colin Kaepernick a letter, right? Literally a handwritten letter.
Right.
Colin Kaepernick read it, reached out to Nate Boyer, and said, hey, and these are Nate Boyer's words. He said, Colin Kaepernick said to Nate Boyer, I respect your service. I respect everything you've done. I want to make a powerful statement, but I don't want this to be misinterpreted as me disrespecting the military. I appreciate everything that you guys do. So how can I make the statement that I'm trying to make in terms of police brutality and police beating people and killing people
in justice in America in general,
not getting served.
Right. And so
Nate Boyer says to him that, well, you should kneel because this is what people kneel when they pray. When we have a fallen soldier, we kneel. In front of their grave or what have you, and that is more that shows the due respect, but still gets your point across.
Right.
And Nate Boyer even admitted, he said, "Listen, the cops that are out there beating people and murdering people and literally walking away from it on whether it's a technicality or just because that's the legal standard is so high for police." Where you see someone killed in cold blood, but the legal standard says that's okay, that's not right. And he said those percentages of officers, we need to deal with that, right? And so even Nate Boyer admitted, who is a special forces guy who served his country dutifully, it did play in the NFL. He is white, which should be noted, but he came to understand what Colin Kaepernick is saying,
right?
So he gives him the suggestion. Colin Kaepernick takes it, takes a knee, and everyone still loses their shit. And I will argue,
almost more so,
they lose their shit. And the reason why, one, because the media hyped it, right? Because one, most people wouldn't have noticed. No one would have noticed if the media doesn't say anything, right? But someone, some reporter from
true, but I think they should have said something, right? Because they're trying to draw.
I guess, but you do know that Marshawn Lynch has been sitting for the national anthem for the last 10 fucking years.
I know Marshawn Lynch from his Buffalo days, and Marshawn Lynch is just a special character. I mean,
okay, that's fine.
Regardless,
but he's been sitting for the national anthem for much longer than Colin Kaepernick.
But that's probably because he forgot to stand. Marshawn is a strange guy.
Okay.
Colin Kaepernick.
You went to West Virginia. He went to Cal.
You want me versus him on Jeopardy? I'll take that challenge. I'll go beast mode.
Actually, that would be hilarious just to have him on Jeopardy. Even if you won,
who loses? Who is Jim?
Right? I mean, who really loses with Marshawn Lynch on Jeopardy? I don't think anyone.
Fair. Yes, that would be. Hey,
I'm just here for the check, Alex. I mean, oh, I'm sorry. What is I am just here for the check, Alex Trebek?
Next question. What was this? All right. Anyway, the point is Colin Kaepernick was standing for a cause. He has stood for a cause. Now he's back in the news because Nike,
they made him the made face of their campaign.
Right. Now here's something kind of interesting to me because I saw something out there that said he had been, signed by Nike and that, Puma and Adidas or
Puma and Adidas wanted him.
Oh, right. He was still under contract with Nike. He was never not there, under contract with them. So when they said Puma and Adidas wanted him, I'm like, well, why would he say no to them? He didn't. He had remained under contract with Nike.
Never not under, right.
But Nike did renew with him and they made him the face of the Just Do It
campaign.
Yep. 30 years from the beginning of Just Do It with with Bo Jackson, I think, was the start of Just Do It.
I believe.
Was it Jordan?
Actually, I don't remember. If it was 30 years ago, you were I was eight.
I was eight. Fuck you.
What?
You're not lying. I can still say fuck you, but you're not wrong.
And I'm just saying, because if I don't think it would have been Bo Jackson, just because that would have been 1988.
No. Yeah.
So that would have been before. I think actually Bo Jackson may have still been at Auburn.
All right. I don't remember exactly. I do remember the Just Do It slogan coming out. I was in high school. I was a senior in junior high school. And anyway, so they make Colin Kaepernick the face of the Just Do It 30-year anniversary, and people have lost their damn minds.
Oh, wow.
And
on both sides.
This is a right-wing nut job thing, though. Because
it is. I mean, listen, you have the people who are doing the thing that you love the most. They have taken things that they purchased already, and they're burning them. Right, like to
I
show,
like it better when they blow them up because that's even more stupid.
Yeah, I mean it's hard to blow shoes up.
It is hard to blow shoes up.
You know, I mean you got to stick some. You got to stick an M80 and a pair of shoes.
I just like when they run the chance of actual physical harm to themselves.
Well, there was a guy who burned his shoes while they were on his feet. No, I had to go to the emergency room.
Did you tweet about this?
I did.
Okay, because I saw that it came across our Twitter feed, I thought, "Fuck, I'm sorry, I've been really busy."
I know. So have I, but. I find time. I find time for these people.
People who light their own feet on fire to show their anger at a product they've already purchased.
So you've got the people who burn their shoes. There was the, you know, John Rich, who's part of Big and Rich, it blows my mind that Big and Rich actually.
I've been way too busy to enjoy this shit.
Listen. So Big and Rich, the reason why, like, they're a country group. They have this guy, Cowboy Troy, and now they've got this girl who looks like, you know, a cheap knockoff of Stevie Nicks.
It's bad enough when you show me up on rap music. You're now showing me up on country
music.
Well,
the reason why I'm able to show you up is because these people, this group, they do the Saturday morning college football game day intro song.
All right.
And we're coming to your city.
Oh, really? Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's
okay.
Big and Rich.
I did not know that.
If you want to do my thing with your ding dang or whatever. The fucking words
are. Okay, but I do know that. All right.
So they do. They've been doing that for the last 15 fucking years.
Yeah.
Right. Like, and every year, it blows my mind that Big and Rich is still doing the intro for College Game Day, but they're doing it. So, but John Rich, who's the Rich of the Big and Rich, he tweets out that his sound guy cut the Nike swooshes off the top of his socks to show his disdain for Nike for using Colin Kaepernick, right? And it's just like, so you just ruined a fucking pair of socks.
Ooh, that'll show them.
Right, like, I mean, you ruined a
15-year-old pair of socks.
You ruined a fucking 5-year-old pair of socks that you already paid for, right? Like, now you're a guy, like, you travel week to week with this shit band. Right, like
I have no problem with you saying that.
Right,
no,
like you travel no week objection. To week with this shit fucking band. I guarantee you, you've got a limitation on the socks that you have, and you just ruined a pair because you're so mad at the company because they've got this dude with an afro who wore pink socks and a Fidel Castro shirt. Now, my argument is I will give them some leeway.
The pick socks were dumb.
The pick socks were a bad move. The Fidel Castro shirt was a bad move. If you know anything about Fidel Castro, he's controversial.
He's not necessarily good to a human rights level.
He's a bad dude that trends a little bit more towards the middle when you get into what was going on. He did what he thought was best, but he was still a dictator. And a lot of people died because of him for multiple reasons.
Right.
You know, that they just had to escape the conditions, and there were so many people that died, you know, between the Gulf and the Atlantic Ocean trying to get away from Cuba, and then there were people who died there. There were people that he had killed. And so, you know, he wasn't a good guy.
Not a good dude. But having said that, cutting up your... Dude, throw the fucking socks away.
Setting the shoes on fire with your feet still in them, cutting your socks. There was a guy in Colorado. Did you know that? Do you know about this guy?
I have been on
the show. This guy in Colorado, he owns a sports apparel store.
Is this the thing on the window that you get fired? Because I saw.
Nope.
Okay.
He said most, like, so They scan his store. It's filled with Nike shoes, NFL jerseys that are made by Nike. All sorts of, Ohio State stuff, sorts of shit.
Apparel, yeah.
All Nike apparel. I'm not selling anything Nike anymore. My dad was a veteran, and this guy gets on the news and says he's getting rid of all things Nike, will no longer sell Nike apparel. And he is about to tank his family-owned business because that's how pissed off he is at Nike. Listen, that's not commendable, people. It's not. It's not commendable. You're not doing the right thing.
Let me confess something. I've boycotted Nike since the early 90s because of their labor practices.
I commend you.
Okay. And there are three Nike things in my house. A pair of socks, two pairs of socks that were bought for me for a Christmas gift.
Cut the swooshes off.
No, because that's dumb.
Jim.
And I'm not going to let my... Jess from Portland, who got married, by the way.
Good for her.
She bought me...
Did we send her a gift?
No, we did not.
You're an asshole.
I'm a bad person. But she...
We're going to send her a gift.
At the time I left North Carolina, she and her boyfriend at the time bought me an NC State t-shirt that was a Nike t-shirt.
Yeah.
It was a gift. I'm like, I'm not going to throw this out. My friends bought this for me. And I have a couple pairs of socks that were bought for me in the, I don't even want to say when, because now I'm thinking about how long.
Who the fuck is buying you socks? Oh, your mom.
No, it was my aunt's, but Christmas gift years ago.
I met your aunt.
Yeah. All right. So that is the only Nike stuff you will see in my house. I'm not throwing stuff out. I'm not burning it while it's on my fucking body. But their labor practices bothered me. And
well, that's fair. And so one of the big arguments has been for people on the left is, and I even brought this up. I wrote an article on WhiskeyCongress.com.
I really liked your article.
And I led with, this whole thing is fucking neutral for me.
Right. It's not nobility on Nike's part. They're looking at the big picture.
This is a cash move for Nike, right? And we'll get into that in a second. But on the one hand, you have people who are, burning shoes, cutting socks, willing to sabotage their own businesses because Nike is sponsoring a guy who is protesting human rights violations, right? And that's what police brutality, murdering citizens, that is a human rights violation.
Yes.
Right?
I think that's a fair statement.
That's the guy. And so that's the guy that they're choosing to sponsor.
Yep.
And this is the same company that for the last 30 plus years since this fucking 70s, before I was born, has been accused of major human rights violations.
Do you know that Karl Malone refused to accept money from them because
yes.
of it? Okay. Right. Well, that's amazing, right?
And Karl Malone, who is a fucking scumbag.
He is a scumbag. Right? Yes.
I mean, and if you don't know why Karl Malone is a scumbag, then just Google his daughter.
Google Demetrius Bell.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Karl Malone was one of my favorite players in the NBA growing up.
Don't Google his daughter. Google his son.
Demetrius Bell
right.
was born of a 13-year-old woman of Karl Malone's seed when he was a college sophomore.
And Karl Malone refuses to take care of that kid.
He did nothing until he was 18. And then he said, yeah, you're a man. Now make your own money. Yeah. And again, I was a huge Karl Malone fan until I learned that story. Now fuck that guy. But he wouldn't take the fucking money.
Right.
So, all right. So this whole thing is hilarious in the sense that if you're willing to light your own feet on fire because you're that much of a fucking child because Nike is saying, hey, let's shine some light on this legitimate issue, that's on you. Again, this is something we go on with for hours, but I want to talk about the...
Hold on. So I think that there's... I do want to explain this out.
Bring it up. All right.
So you do have the aspect of Nike, their child labor laws and everyone that they... they exploit right. a lot of people to make their shoes, and somehow their shoes still cost $200, right? You could argue the quality of the shoes to a certain degree. I had a pair of shoes that I was using to squat in, and I literally, my pinky toe blew out the side of those shoes, which was really annoying because I really liked them. But the reality is Nike looked at this and, you know, once you put the human rights stuff aside, and if you're going to sit there and say that you're all about it because, yay, I'm glad they're supporting Colin Kaepernick, blah, blah, blah. Listen, folks, this is a money grab. Nike looked at this and they did the math. And they looked at the number of millennials out there. They looked at the number of millennials that'll be able to purchase their products and buy their stuff. And want to buy their stuff. And then they combined it with the number of people in that age bracket that support Colin Kaepernick. And they looked at it and they said, listen, we're going to lose mostly baby boomers, a few people under the baby boomers, and even less people in this millennial bracket. But the number of people that are going to side with us from that millennial bracket, from the progressive left that are above that age bracket, but are just will just buy into it, it will counterbalance the people that we lose that are going to be upset with it. And people are like, well, you could have had both. No, not true. Because there were people on the left, there are people on the left who are abandoning their frustration with Nike over their human rights violation because they believe more strongly in Colin Kaepernick and what's going on right here in the USA. And they're kind of forgetting about the whole human rights violation thing, right? Now, some people are bringing
it up. I'm not.
Well, which is good for you, but I mean, listen, this isn't about you, right? And the reason why I'm saying it, because they're not worried about you and your demographic.
Right.
Right? And they're not worried about...
I'm the old white guy that... Right. Typically,
and they looked at you and your age and your race and everything.
And I'm
they
on said, the young end of the people who are
exactly,
angry about this.
But even then, they said, we don't need him.
But the best, the most, I think, prolific thing you said in your article on WhiskeyCongress.com is that it's a global company.
Yes.
And so beyond the whole...
And just, can I just flesh that out a little
absolutely.
Bit?
Absolutely. I was just proving to you I actually did read it.
And I appreciate it. I do. So the United States is 40% of their global of their market.
Okay.
40%, right? Which is a ton.
But it's less than half.
But it's less than half. Right. And you still have 60% of the world, right, that don't give a fuck about any of that other shit. They're still
and
gonna
they
buy Nike.
They do look at this and say
maybe they do, maybe they don't. I mean
they
like
probably
look
at it as you know what? Maybe the Colin Kaepernick thing doesn't even air. Over there.
Right. I don't even know. And I don't like, I don't know what the marketing, I feel like the marketing strategy in Italy is way different than the marketing strategy in the United States. The marketing strategy in
China,
India, Egypt, there it's different, right? Nike's too big. They're not rolling this out all over. Now, that being said, you have the internet. Right. Which the internet, most of these countries can, some of these countries can access. Right?
Almost and all of these countries can
well,
access.
Well, there's a few. Well, no. There's
if
a few
you're
who
buying
can't.
Nikes, you probably can
well,
get
well, there's
the
a
internet.
Few who can't because their countries limit what they can see. Right?
Right.
China limits what you can see on the internet.
Right.
But you can get to Nike's site and you can maybe you may not be. That's all I'm saying.
All right.
I'm not saying that they're third world countries and they don't have the internet. What I'm saying is some places that are not the United States limit what you can see on the internet. But all that being said, you still have these massive countries in multiple other continents who all buy Nike, right? They're not all third world countries who have no money and they're just sitting there waiting for...
They're emerging markets too,
right? I mean,
suddenly middle class is emerging there.
Right, and they're booming.
Yes.
Right? Like they're emerging and they're booming and they got money to spend and they want to look like Americans. They want to look like Europeans. And one of the staples of the American / European, Western European look is Nike, period. They're the largest shoe company, whatever sports apparel company in the world by a lot. So
when it comes to marketing, just pure marketing, having said what I said earlier today, I cannot think of a better marketed brand than Nike. The only two I'll put in the same league are Coca-Cola and McDonald's.
And Apple.
Okay. That's pretty elite company.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but in terms of like you say just do it, I know Nike. You know, you don't know Nike. And McDonald's, Coca-Cola, and Apple, they have their brand name
or stuff. But they also just have their symbol that you
write. Right.
But Coca-Cola, McDonald's, Nike, those symbols are, they mean the same thing around the world.
Yes.
Period.
Absolutely.
Right? Like those are the top three. Like Coca-Cola, Nike,
Amazon McDonald's. Is the only one chipping into that.
Yeah, but
and I mean, even they don't.
And I don't.
If you put an Amazon logo in front of me, I don't think I know that meant.
But Asia, I mean, they've got Alibaba.
Right? Alibaba, thank you.
So they don't need Amazon there. So that one, I mean, as big as Amazon is, like, I don't know what their market share is in Europe. What I do know is that Nike, McDonald's, and Coca-Cola,
everybody knows, they do.
You know what I mean? Like, that's America, right?
That's America, and that is globalization.
And what that means, but again, what that means is when, you know, you've got the concern. Think about this, and I talk about this in the article, where you have your Trump voting GOP MAGA crowd, where they say, you know, we have money and we're going to impact this. Oh, are you really? Because when we look at it, first of all, half of the eligible voting population in the United States voted, right? Half.
Maybe roughly. A bit less.
It was right. I think it was like 58%.
Oh, is that okay?
Because it matched 2012. So we were at 58%, which is actually decent for us, but it still sucks.
Disappointing, but yes.
Right. But we're still, 58%. Well, Trump and Hillary were neck and neck.
And Hillary actually had more popular vote, but
electoral votes or whatever. So Trump essentially had between 30% and 40% of the vote, right?
Right.
Then you had the people who voted for Hillary, and then you had the third party people who voted for Jill Stein, right?
And my guy Gary Johnson.
And Gary Johnson, that fucking moron. So
but we don't call names on the show.
But if you think about it, think about how actually small of a population that is, right?
Right.
I mean, the United States is...
In the world.
Well,
yes.
In the world, right? I mean, because the United States is 300 million, right?
Is 7 billion.
But right, but China is 1 billion.
India is a billion.
India is a billion, right? Europe is a whole lot, right? I mean, South America, they got their own group of the Australian... But the point being... Nike, Coke, McDonald's, Australia, Brazil,
right?
Fucking Russia, and by
the
way, Italy.
Like, even if you don't believe in Kaepernick, the controversy that gets them noticed, and this is part of what you said in your article, is this is suddenly making Nike a relevant topic in the trending news, right, which they have not been in a long time.
Right.
So that's what I really thought about Jared. So, good too was, you know, they.
It's.
It was brilliant marketing.
When you think about it, it's a marketing ploy, and if you're a super tight conservative, this is a drop in the bucket. You and your friends are a drop in the bucket, and I'm sorry, Nike doesn't care about your feelings. Nike cares about money. Remember, you're a capitalist, right? If you're a conservative, you're GOP, you're MAGA, we're making America great again, and less regulation, and it's all about making money as long as I'm doing what Nike's doing it. They're killing it.
They're making Nike
They're
great
killing
again.
It, and they looked at you, and they said, you don't matter. I don't care about you. But I'm upper middle.
And your anger makes it better.
I'm upper middle class and I'm white. I don't care. You don't have as much money. All of you guys combined don't have as much money as this other group. I know you're in your silo where you guys think you're awesome, which is great. And you are. You're really awesome. But all of these people combined have a whole hell of a lot more money than you. And we're doing addition by subtraction by removing you from our whole thing, because we're going to get so much more of these people who have more money than you, and you're going to have to get over it. Or not. We don't really actually give a fuck. That's literally Nike's thought process.
And it's actually brilliant marketing.
It's brilliant, and here's the thing. So Nike's stock took a little bit of a hit.
Okay.
Right? By a little bit of a hit.
2%, right?
3%.
Okay.
Ooh, right? Which is, like, I don't know, like, some $3 billion or something like that, which is crazy. But it's Nike.
Right.
Which, by the way, their stock is up 30% over the year, right? Year over year. Here's the weird thing. Puma, Adidas, Under Armour all took hits. at the exact same time. Yeah, they all took hits.
I pay attention to stock market. It's fine. I was still not paying attention.
Right.
That.
Like so, and I actually tweeted it out. They all took hits at the same time. Every single one of them, and they all took around the same 3% hit. And today,
so, the Brazilian,
so when all this was announced, you know, like the MAGA crowd and all the Trump supporters lost their shit because they're just like, oh look, our boycott. We've been doing this boycott for 12 hours, and Nike's already lost, you know, all this money, right? Well, so did Adidas, so did Puma, right? Like so did like in and. Who's the other one?
Reebok would be the...
No, Reebok's under Adidas.
Under Armour.
They all lost around that same 3% amount, right? Which, that amount for Adidas, Puma, and Under Armour is way more because they're not worth... You know what I mean? Like, that 3% loss...
It impacts them more.
So then, if you followed it from the time they made this announcement to today... Nike was the only one that consistently gained back over the course of the week, and the rest of them were down the entire week. Now, at the end of close today, all four, Nike, Puma, Adidas, Under Armour, were all up. Now, they weren't back to where they were before this announcement, but they're all back up. So what that tells us is there was something else that was shifting that down. It had nothing to do with the
overall market because it was down because of other stuff.
Part of it was the market. I think it was the overall market. I think maybe the trade policies between the United States, China, and Europe, and
right.
tariffs and everything else. There was something else going on that was dictating the price of these stocks, and it had nothing to do with the boycott from Mac. Right. It makes no sense. And if you actually watch that Nike stock. And I did. I watched it intently from the time they made the announcement on, I think it was like August 31st or whatever.
Last week.
I think it was
September 6th.
No, that's that was my birthday. It was September 4th.
Fourth. Okay. I was thinking of your birthday, Steve. See how good look friend at I am?
No, it was September 4th. If you watch it from September 4th until today, Nike went down. From 83 down to 79 per share. And then they steadily rose back up incrementally, but they rose back up. They closed at 80.39 today. And then the rest of them all lost consistently. And then today was the first day that Adidas, Puma, Under Armour all ticked up, right? Like, so that tells you, listen, whatever was going on had nothing to do with you. And that's the only, like, for this group, right? Like, that's the thing that matters, right? Because they want their dollar to matter, right?
Oh, sure.
But that's the hard part for them to accept that, guess what?
I know
your dollar doesn't matter. You can try to...
They're not market influencers. I mean...
Well, they can be in certain segments.
It ain't Nike, though.
But not Nike.
Agreed.
Right, and that's the part that they don't get.
I will not buy Nike just because of this, because I've been protesting them or boycotting them for 20 years for my own reasons, 25 years.
Listen, when you're 5'10", 290 pounds, and built like me, you'll buy whatever the fuck fits. Right? Like, so I don't have the gumption to fucking protest anybody. If you fucking sell clothes that fit my ass, that fit my legs, that fit my shoulders, that fit my arms and chest, then I'm going
to
buy it.
You know, I love when I'm promoting our show to people I meet at bars and whatever, and Lyft drivers on trip, and I describe you. I'm like, he's a 300-pound lawyer, black lawyer, who competes as a power lifter. And they're like, you look like you could lift power. I'm like, I look like Pee Wee Herman next to this guy. Use that line many times. I think it's accurate. I don't look like Pee Wee Herman.
Next to you, I do. Over the last few months, you've started working out, taking it seriously. I have to say, on our show, that I am proud of what you're doing.
Thank you, brother.
You look good.
Thank you, brother.
You look better. You look like you feel better.
I do feel better. Let's talk football.
Let's do it.
Legit football. First of all, let's talk Le'Veon Bell.
Because this
is your Steelers.
You know that hits close to home.
Very close to home for you on a bunch of levels.
It does.
So Le'Veon Bell is one of the best running backs in the NFL today.
Yep.
He is been franchise tagged by the Pittsburgh Steelers, which basically means
they've been franchised. He's been franchised twice.
So this is the second time being franchised.
Yep.
And he is a phenomenal player. Honestly, watching this guy play as a non-fan of the Steelers, it looks like he is playing a video game. He is so good at reading and starting and stopping his body. He is phenomenal. And the franchise tag. And
so let's. So I'm a diehard Steeler fan, through and through.
I'm aware.
Black and gold. And what I'll say is the thing about Le'Veon Bell is that he's not that fast, right? Like
he just looks fast because he stops and starts so well.
Well, he's not that like deadline run right. 4.240.
No, he's probably not a 4.5 guy. But he moves on the field.
His quickness. In a very small space, right? In what we call...
In his vision, his football smarts.
We call it a 4x4 box, right? 4 feet by 4 feet. How much can you move? How fast can you move within that box? And he can move incredibly fast in a 4x4 box. Four feet by 4 feet, left, right, north, south, whatever. He can do it. And he's
at an exceptional level.
Right, at an exceptional level. And he's incredibly patient. And... He's got a very high football IQ, meaning that he knows where plays are going to develop. He knows where soft spots are going to be in the defense. He knows that if he's going out to the flat, if he spends some time in the backfield hanging out, looking like he's about to block or looking like he's about to take a screen or looking like he's taking a handoff, he can get to the flat, and he knows that the linebacker will pass or fade over him to a point where he'll be wide open, and then he can – catch that pass and get, instead of getting tackled immediately for a 1 yard gain, he'll have enough space to get 6 yards, 8 yards, 12 yards.
Right.
So his football IQ is very high.
Yes.
He's a very high value asset.
Player at a high value position. However,
well, what I'll say is actually, no, the running back position is actually a low value position in the NFL because those guys take a beating. Not many of them are Adrian Peterson. Most of them, a lot of teams.
Or LeSean McCoy. As a Bills fan.
Well, yeah, I mean, right. LeSean McCoy, but most teams now are doing running back by committee. There are only, there's 32 teams in the NFL, and most teams have multiple running backs that they use throughout the game.
Agreed.
Right? Like if you're playing daily fantasy, or even if you're playing fantasy football, running backs are just as hard as receivers because you have multiple guys that are getting touches.
Agreed.
You've got guys who come in first down, second down, and then you've got another running back that comes in on third down passing
backs. Unlike the 80s and 90s where you had a featured back and then some guy that comes in
10%
of the
time. You had Emmitt Smith. You had Jerome Bettis. You had Thurman Thomas. You had Barry Sanders.
Right.
Now, there's only a limited number of guys. And even those guys... it's a different league.
Le'Veon Bell, Ezekiel Elliott, LeSean McCoy still do have their value for teams. The bigger point is Le'Veon Bell has refused to sign his franchise tag.
His franchise tender. He will not sign it.
Which is a $14 million guaranteed contract.
Yep.
And
which he got last year.
Which he got last year. And
it was a little bit less, but he got that last year.
And they're only allowed to do that twice in a row for a player.
Well, they can do it three times, but the third time, no matter what position, on the third time, it's got to be the quarterback.
Okay,
franchise. So what the franchise tag is? It's the top five average
at your position
until you get to the third year. Where it's then it goes to the top five average quarterback, no matter what position you play. No. Right? Like, could you imagine if you franchise tagged a punter 3 years in a row?
No, and no one would.
Right? Like, I mean, no one
would.
You're
not going to pay a punter like Tom Brady.
Right, but I mean, but that's how insane it is. And that's why they do it.
But it's collectively bargained. And so I do want to hear your thoughts on this, because I know you're passionate about how angry you get with the whole people judging the black athlete for, you shouldn't be making this money. I'd play this game for free. I don't know whose voice I was imitating there, but someone's.
I get your point, though.
And
so this is where I come in on it. a lot of people will say Kirk Cousins was in the same position. He didn't do this, and it worked out just fine for him. Kirk Cousins was franchised. No, he was.
Right.
Kirk Cousins was franchised twice in Washington, last year and the year before. And then after the season, he went to Minnesota.
Right.
He got a big contract.
Huge contract, yeah.
I think $90 million with $40 million guaranteed or something along those lines.
I don't know the numbers. All right.
And it worked out great for him. Fantastic.
Good.
The difference is Kirk Cousins is a quarterback. And there are specific rules put in the game that say you literally can't hit the quarterback. You can't hit him high. Right? If you hit a quarterback too high, it's a penalty. If you hit a quarterback low, it's a penalty.
Right. Running back is a brutal position.
Well,
and
hold on.
Running back in high
school. Hold on. Let me get there. But I mean, like, there's some, like, if you hit a quarterback while he's sliding, it's a penalty. Like, there's so many rules. Like, you also have people protecting you. Like, there's a lot of rules that protect the quarterback. So for a quarterback to play on a franchise tag, okay, like, it's a little risky, but it's not the end of the world. For a running back, it's completely different. And a running back like Le'Veon Bell, who is a dual threat, and that's his big thing, is that he's a dual threat. Listen, he was the leading rusher for the Steelers, and he was their second leading receiver. Right?
All right.
I mean, like, he's a guy.
You're a fan. I'm not.
Well, I mean, that's
the numbers bear out. I'm just saying. Right, I mean, I didn't know that.
He ran for 1,200 yards, and then he had whatever Juju Smith-Schuster had. Like, Le'Veon Bell had, you know, another 200 yards on top of it.
All right.
And so for his position of bargaining is saying, listen, I'm the second leading receiver on the team, and I'm the leading rusher, so you need to pay me some sort of combination between running back and receiver. Now, all right, a lot of people are looking at it and saying, well, that's insane. You're a running back. And he's like, but again, second leading receiver on a team that has Ben Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster, you know what I mean? Like, and so that's the position that he's trying to bargain from. Now, if you want to argue whether that's smart or not, or if that makes sense, or if you agree or disagree, neither here nor there. So he's got a franchise tag. This is the second year. So his options are come and play on that franchise tag for $14
million. Guaranteed. Right?
Guaranteed. Then you become a free agent the next year.
And you do what you want.
And then someone.
Or possibly get franchised for the third year and get paid quarterback money.
Right.
Which you said.
And but you run the risk of getting hurt.
Right.
And if you get hurt and you're a running back, which there are no rules protecting running backs from getting tackled low.
Running backs
or getting tackled
collisions
high.
Every time right. they touch the ball.
I mean, like, and or even
when they don't.
Even when they don't, right?
You're blocking.
Whether you're blocking or whatever. Yeah. So
I don't know how running backs wake up in the morning, Monday morning, every year, but you do. It's got to be horrible.
Right. It's rough because you're exposed a hell of a lot more between blocking, running, catching, being tackled, all those
people
things.
Hitting you from different angles.
But you get hit. So Le'Veon Bell's whole point in this is I do more than any other running back in the league, and he does. The numbers bear out, right? Todd Gurley got paid a shit ton of money, and Todd Gurley can't do everything that Le'Veon Bell does, period. The numbers bear out, right? Like, one, Todd Gurley had a devastating knee injury when he was at Georgia. And when he walked into the league. Now, Todd Gurley puts up crazy numbers, but so does Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell put up crazy numbers last year, and he walked in, like, he had no preseason, no training camp, had a shitty game against the Browns, and got better and better progressively after that, and was the second leading rusher in the league, and again, was the Steelers' second leading wide receiver. Like, no, that, I mean, like, technically second leading wide receiver, but that's his whole point, right? Like, that's his point of negotiation. So, where do I come out on his position where he hasn't showed up?
One other thing that needs to point out is once they reach a certain point, they were legally, by the league rules, not allowed to extend a contract. So, at one point, they did not come to a deal, and it was either sign the franchise.
Yeah, and that was back in June.
Or July. It was
June or July, right.
So at this point, it's you either play for this contract for 1 year or you don't.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I want that out there for those who don't know the deal. Details.
So I think what happened was, over the last 10 days, we've seen Aaron Donald of the Los Angeles Rams get paid. He's a D lineman, get paid $135 million with some absurd amount guaranteed. Then we saw Khalil Mack of the Raiders, like a couple, like a day later, get traded from the Raiders to the Bears for $140
million. $90 million guaranteed.
And, oh, by the way, early in the summer, we saw Todd Gurley get paid a $90 million contract with, you know, $40 million guaranteed. And Le'Veon Bell's whole position is, hey, what the fuck are you guys talking about, right? Todd Gurley got paid, and Todd Gurley hasn't done what
I've done.
Same
position and
right, like I agree. And then you've got two D linemen, right, or a D lineman and a linebacker
right.
who got paid. Why can't I get paid?
But by the time those things happened, his situation was fixed. It was either you sign and accept.
No, Jim. Khalil Mack and Aaron Donald literally happened last week.
Right. But by then, the deal that Le'Veon Bell was under was you either sign the franchise tender or you don't. Okay.
That's fair.
My opinion is this. If you have a choice, you either play ball and take guaranteed $14 million.
So I know where you're going.
Let me say it.
Okay,
say it.
Fine.
Say it. You either take $14 million guaranteed and play a year and hope things go your way. And injury is a risk, and that's something that most careers don't have to deal with. Or don't. I don't get why you wouldn't say, I'll play this final year with that guaranteed $14 million. And if you don't fix it next year, I'm fucking done. But pay me and let me get back with the team. And I know it's a complicated thing about like...
Let me explain to you why you're wrong.
All right.
Here's the deal.
Go ahead.
Again, he's not Kirk Cousins. He is not protected like Kirk Cousins is. He's been injured before.
Right.
Right, like he's had a minor tear of the meniscus. He's had minor things that have pulled him out of games. You know, like he's strained his groin.
I get it.
Okay,
but
well, I mean,
$14 million guaranteed or nothing.
Here's the deal. Yeah, or nothing. But think about this: $14 million guaranteed. You get hurt, that's all you get. $14 million. He sits out, then he goes. Now, listen, there's some caveats.
There's some risk there, right?
Well, no, there's no risk. But
there's
listen,
no risk.
Let me explain this to you. So the rule is he has to report by the 10th game of the year.
Right.
I don't know exactly when. But he's got to report by the 10th game of the year. If he doesn't, then he loses this year of eligibility, and so he won't be a free agent next year. So no matter what, he's going to report by week 10. Okay, now how much he plays, I don't know. But he, no matter what his decision is, he's got to report by week 10.
Right.
Now, his thought process is, I'm going to put less miles on myself. I'm going to reduce my chance of injury because I'm a running back. And to this point, the Steelers have used me as their number one running back and their number two receiver. Right. Between those two things, I have an increased chance of being injured. So, by playing less games, I reduce the probability that I am going to get hurt. Now, it's football. It's life. Shit happens. You can never not get... He could literally walk down the stairs wrong in his fucking mansion, wherever he lives, and blow out his Achilles right now, and all this will go to shit. Right? So, I mean...
you're a lawyer. I'm an engineer. Neither of us are going to take a step... wrong step or... go into a courtroom or go into a plant and lose our career. And a football player can, and a running back is probably the most susceptible to that.
Exactly.
So I accept that.
So
for a business decision, I have no problem with it.
But think about this.
Don't even put the cork back in the bottle.
Oh, okay. So just think about this, though.
Thank you.
So he, as a running back, is saying, I'm going to play less games. I'm going to put myself out there less for a chance of injury, whether it's one game or 10 games.
Right.
That's just that fewer chances that he's going to get injured. And then he's going to be a free agent next year no matter what. The Steelers are not going to franchise him a third time.
Right.
He is going to be a free agent. And guess what? He is going to get a multi-million major ridiculous contract. Right? And it's going to be more than what, no matter who signs him, no matter who signs him, they will look at his history with the failed drug test and the injuries, and then they will look at his production, and they will look at his dual threat as a running back and a receiver, right? A bigger version of Marshall Faulk, and then they will sign him to more than what Todd Gurley made. And no matter what happens this season, as long as he's healthy going into next season, he will make more money than what Todd Gurley made this year. And Todd Gurley made a boatload of money. And the Steelers offered him a contract this year, but it wasn't what Todd Gurley made. Like the number, like the big number was the same. Like Todd Gurley got $90 million and they offered Le'Veon Bell $90 million, but it wasn't $90 million guaranteed, right? It wasn't $40 million; it was $10 million guaranteed. He had to hit ridiculous accelerators and the whole fucking thing. Like there was no fucking chance. So he's doing the smart thing now. As a fan, right? As a Steeler fan, as a diehard, it's like, come on, LB, like just get in there for the team, for the championship. I want him to be there. I would love to see him. I would have loved to see him in camp and say, fuck it. I'm just going to do it for the team. I'm going to do it for Pittsburgh one last year. I'm going to give it all I got. I would have loved to have seen that. And I would love for him from week one to go out and set the tone and get himself the contract that he deserves. And maybe somehow, miraculously, he ends up staying with the Steelers. But I totally get from a business standpoint why he's doing what he's doing, and it makes sense. I don't like it because I'm a fan of the team that he plays for, but I can't look at it from a business or a legal perspective and say that it's wrong. And if you're saying that it's wrong, then you're just saying that because you're mad at a guy. Like, what's crazy is if you don't like what Le'Veon Bell is doing, then that means that you're siding with NFL teams who were literally ripping up contracts of NFL players before the ink was dry because a guy was too old or a guy didn't have the same 40 time that he had the year before, or just because they drafted somebody else and they thought that this guy was better, right? Like they're just making up arbitrary reasons to cut guys, which they've signed contracts to, which everyone says, you signed a contract. You need to honor that contract. Right. Well, NFL teams, hey, you signed a contract, right? Like it's different than, hey, I got hired at a job at will and you can fire me for any reason. No, we have an actual legal binding document. And so you should probably honor that. But NFL teams were allowed for years to get away with that until probably the last 2 years. Or probably the last 3 years when they adjusted the rookie wage scale, they changed the CBA, and now there's more guaranteed money in the deal. So now these teams, all of a sudden, now you don't see them cutting guys at like, oh, I signed you to a $100 million contract, but I cut you after year one, so you only made $3 million. Sorry.
Well, that's because there's salary cap implications to that.
Right, but I mean...
Let me run with this, please, because
yeah, go.
I get with...
Sorry, I ran for a
like
while.
20 minutes. The Steve Show with Lizzie Congress. No, I get what you're saying. And I agree with you fundamentally on a lot of levels. But I also will say that if you are Le'Veon Bell, you are giving up like $800,000 a game until you play again. And you're right. If he stays healthy, he's going to get more than that. And he runs a risk of being injured. Now, I have no problem with NFL players holding out or fighting contracts because there is no guarantee. Almost all NFL contracts have...
No, understand this. Hold on. I'm going to throw this one thing out here.
Good.
He was franchised last year.
Right.
So he
signed a deal.
So he's got $13 to $14 million in the bank from last year. Right. So he's not really negotiating from a point of weakness. He's negotiating, right? Like, and that's a good point.
That's a good point. If you're Le'Veon Bell, you're thinking of me, my family.
He's thinking long term. Like, right. let's not throw the "I need to feed my family" thing out there.
No, it sounds cheesy. You're right. It sounds disingenuous.
Right. We're talking about a guy who's made millions of dollars to this point. I think over his career, he's made 20+ million dollars. Yeah. Right.
Right.
And so he's good. But listen, he's no different. Like, he is no different than me. I just walked away from a company that paid me very well to go to another company that paid me better.
And I offered
my old company. I said, if you can do X, Y, and Z, I'll stay. They hemmed and hawed. They said, we can do X and Y. I said, you can't do Z. They said, no, we can't. I say, I'll see you later.
And frankly, Steve, I did the same thing. I was on a project. Like,
right, I know.
A contract project.
Right. Like,
and
so
they were paying me well. And
it's
said,
no different. It is, and like, right. we want to beat these guys up. Because, oh, well, they made millions of dollars.
Franchise
Fuck you.
I'm a franchise engineer, bitch. All right. You're right.
Tag me, ho. Tag me, bitch.
Absolutely. And you can't blame these guys because, unlike you and me, their career isn't physically limited.
No.
I'm sorry. Our career isn't physically limited.
Right.
Theirs is.
Theirs is.
I mean, I'm not going to get chopped at the knee and not be able to be an engineer anymore. They do have that risk. So, all right, let's talk some football. We've already gone over an hour on part two.
Holy shit.
Yeah, we did.
We talked too much.
We do. And we drank some great whiskey. It's fucking awesome whiskey.
Come on. The Port Charlotte's gone. I'm going to buy another bottle.
Was that?
I'm going to buy another bottle of Port Charlotte.
Do that. The Port Charlotte.
There's like two left at the store that you bought it at.
And all right, let's talk some NFL real quick. Because like I said, we are over an hour already for part two of
all
a
right,
night.
So let's do this. So here's the deal. I'm going to start with my team just because I can. So Pittsburgh is opening at Cleveland. I'm going to the game on Sunday. It's part of Steve's birthday
weekend.
The weather's
supposed to suck, by the way.
Oh my god, it's supposed to be awful. I have to buy a fucking poncho.
I'll lend you a poncho.
But where my seats are, I have access to the club area. So like if it does,
look at you, Mr.
Yeah. So I'll be inside. So my like walking to the game will suck. Leaving the game will suck if it's raining the way it's supposed to. But during the game, I will be crushing,
being fed,
fancy,
being fed grapes by
peeled grapes. I'll be being fed peeled grapes.
Bitch,
to be specific,
peeled grapes.
Mr. Davis,
are you comfortable?
Right.
Yes.
Drinking Russian vodka.
I don't know why that voice came out. Anyway, yes. But Steelers Browns.
So here's the deal. Like living in Cleveland, it's crazy, right? Like this morning at the gym, I'm doing my warm up on deadlifts. I'm annoyed with myself because 585 feels heavier than it should. And okay. a guy literally
Humble brag warning, but okay.
No, it's not. It just did. It felt like shit. And I was literally pissed at myself, like yelling at the bar, like I'm like a psychopath.
Still, still a humble brag, but okay.
Screaming, yelling at the bar, and then a good friend of mine we've been lifting together. We've been at two gyms together for the last 10 years. He comes in. And he's just like, hey, while you're being a psycho about your bullshit deadlift, I got a bet for you.
Oh, I like this guy.
And I'm like, what? I got a bet for you. Browns beat the Steelers straight up this Sunday. I'm like,
right.
I'm like, wait, you're betting me this? Yeah. You don't have Le'Veon Bell. Fuck you. Oh, okay. So you're betting me this? Yeah. What do you want to bet? I was like, a bottle of whiskey because I'm an alcoholic. All right, cool. What's the minimum price? It's like $100. Oh, you're serious? Yeah, I'm dead serious. Fine, fuck it. Browns are going to the playoffs. Oh, all right. So now we've got two bets. Let's bet one, this game, Browns versus Steelers, and let's bet if the Browns make the playoffs. Let's do it. Now, the reason why this conversation is valid, this is the first time in 5 fucking years that I've had a Browns fan legitimately talk shit to me, right? With me all being right. a Steelers fan, considering right. the what used
and
to be the
well
rivalry.
And you're well known at your gym. I mean, you are.
I'm yes.
Very
everyone
well known
knows.
There. Yes.
Everyone knows me, and they all know I'm a Steelers fan. Now, I don't flaunt it. I'm not a big guy. I'm not a big apparel guy. I actually have a
don't
thing.
Say you're not a big guy. You're a big guy, but you're not a.
I just well,
you're not
I,
a
I don't,
trash talker.
I don't, and I don't wear a lot of my team, whether it's Ohio State or the Steelers or Indians, Cavs, whatever. I don't because
or UMass
or any. I just well, I wear my UMass.
Yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
Right. But anyway, I don't wear a ton of stuff. So any all that to all that, He bets me. All right. He bets me on the Browns.
He's
he bets me on the Browns. He's feeling strong, as it would say. And it's been a long time since Browns fans have been that confident.
Are you feeling strong?
Right. It's been a long time since the Browns fan, the Browns as a fan base, have felt that strong about their team, where they're betting against they're betting on the Browns versus the Steelers. They're talking about making the playoffs, and listen, it's annoying, right? Like, because like literally, like he couldn't have picked the worst time, right? Like you're
annoyed with your workout.
I am
whatever.
Literally at the time I was screaming at an inanimate object, and he interrupted it. So we could make a bet.
Knowing you, and you know I love you, brother, but I've seen you lose your shit at nothing.
Right.
That's not the time to interrupt. This is the ultimate nothing.
Right. Like he's screaming, like he's like, yo, hey. And I'm like, what?
But you're at your gym, and I guarantee that's
right. And I'm like, what could you possibly fucking want right now? He's like, yo, Brown Steelers. What about them? Bet what? What do you want?
By the way, this is the most caveman conversation I've heard.
And it is, right? Like, I mean, it's Browns, first of all, what? Mind you, it's 6:30 in the morning, right? Like, I haven't eaten.
Brown Steeler. I've only had my fucking energy drink. My oatmeal.
No, I eat that after. So all I've had is fucking liquid meth.
This is
liquid meth in a can. My Bang Energy, which is liquid meth in a can.
I'm glad this is going to follow up after the oatmeal shit you say you ate.
Right.
From like, last episode.
I start my morning workouts with a Bang Energy, whatever. And it's the new one. It's like unicorn and rainbows, which it tastes like strawberry Faygo. The can couldn't be any more effeminate. Like, it's pink and like light blue and whatever. But it tastes like strawberry Faygo from my childhood in the hood. So I love it.
With nutmeg.
And it also gets me really cranked up. So like I'm sitting here again screaming at a fucking deadlift bar and plates, and he comes in like, hey, want to bet the Browns? Wants to bet the game on Sunday, and then he wants to bet their season, saying the Browns are going to make the playoff. I take both bets.
Fair. I think the Browns will win six or seven games this year.
I agree. I think the Browns are between a 6 and 8 win team. I think they're going to show market improvement. They're going to take a fucking L on this Sunday. It's probably going to be a close game.
I won't be shocked if they don't beat. I will not be shocked if they beat the Steelers.
I'll be shocked. This is why. You've got an offensive line that's pissed at Le'Veon Bell because he's not there. You've got a young running back who this is his second year, a talented kid that's worked his ass off because he knows. Like, listen, Le'Veon Bell wasn't coming back, and James Conner has known who's the backup to Le'Veon Bell. He's known that Le'Veon Bell wasn't coming back next year, right? Like, so James Conner is preparing himself, and he started preparing himself at the end of last season. So that kid has something to prove.
You also have Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown, which is nothing to sneeze at.
My head coach is Mike Tomlin, who's pretty damn good. My quarterback is Ben Roethlisberger. My best receiver is Antonio Brown. My second best receiver is Juju Smith-Schuster, who I love that kid.
I know you do.
My tight end is Jesse James, who's very underrated. I've got a defense that has something to prove, and I don't know if they're good. I know that I've got three good guys on the defensive line. I've got three good linebackers. I need a fourth. I've got a few good DBs. I don't know how good they are. There are some things about the Browns that scare me, but ultimately I think that I got more checks in my column than the Browns do.
Fair.
So it is
in Cleveland.
I don't give a shit.
Okay.
I think it ends up being a game that the Steelers end up winning by anywhere from 3 to fucking 6 points. And
we get out of there with a win.
And
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying I think it will be a tight game. All right. We're over an hour and 10 in part two. I want to talk Buffalo football.
Talk Buffalo football.
No, I'm not going to.
Do it for
real quick.
10, 15 minutes. What do you know?
No.
Nathan Peterman is your starting quarterback.
Nathan Peterman is your starting quarterback.
And you traded A.J. McCarron to the fucking Raiders. Holy shit.
We got something for A.J. McCarron, which is amazing.
Which is wild.
Because who would give
like,
up
so the bigger issue is that in the same like 36 hours, John Gruden traded Khalil Mack and traded for A.J. McCarron.
Wow, you're right.
Right? Like, so
you gave up something to get a guy the Bills were going to cut, and you gave up one of the top five defensive players in the NFL.
But now, they did.
They got a lot.
Now
back
listen, they got two first round draft picks,
and they avoided paying a huge contract.
Yes.
And you and I were talking on the phone when that deal came through. I was in New Jersey. You and I were on the phone just chatting about whatever the fuck we talk about. And you went, "Holy fuck!" That no, was that did that happen when we were together here?
No, we were on the phone.
Oh, we're on the phone. Okay. Anyway. The whole Khalil Mack deal came through. Two firsts and other things. And that Khalil Mack, who is a fucking monster.
Yeah.
I mean, a...
incredibly. Like, he's...
phenomenally talented.
Off the edge, freak. The ability to cover...
And he can... He's diverse, too, right?
Right.
He can out play of Buffalo. Out of the University of Buffalo. He's from Miami. But he went to the University of Buffalo.
Yeah.
And when he played in a... I was talking to someone
played against Ohio State.
At Ohio State, I talked about this at the hotel bar last night in New Jersey. I said, this guy played on the same field as Joey Bosa. And people were talking about how fucking crazy good Khalil Mack was. And Joey Bosa is amazing.
Now, to be fair, Joey Bosa was playing Buffalo.
Against Buffalo.
Khalil Mack was playing
against Ohio State. So everything that Ohio State's defense had to deal with. Joey,
I'm not 100% sure that Joey Bosa was awake during that game.
Well, there's that.
You know what I mean?
Here's a question.
Your point's very well taken, though. And listen, it's been proven out. Khalil Mack is a fucking monster. He was great in Oakland. And the Bears traded for him for a reason. They think that he is the piece that defense needs to just to be a completely shut down defense.
And they're so wrong.
Well,
whatever. He's the right guy, but their defense he's really is good. A flawed.
They just, I mean, well, their defense is actually pretty good. If you look at them statistically, their biggest issue was that Mitch Trubisky sucks.
There's that.
That's right. Steve, that's bigger.
Steve, but anyway. We're an hour 10 now.
All right.
I want to throw a trivia question at you. Because this came up the other day.
Okay.
And I did not get it. And I'm a trivia nerd.
Okay.
So.
Doesn't bode well for me at all.
Well, I think I'll end up looking bad at the end of this. I'll be curious. So Nick Bosa is likely to be a top three pick.
Yep.
Joey Bosa was picked number three overall. There has only been one time that brothers were picked in the top three overall in the NFL. Who were they?
Ooh, hold on.
I can't wait for this because I didn't get this and I was so mad at myself. So,
Peyton and Eli.
Fuck yes. Damn it. Fuck. Yes. I didn't get that right. You win, sir.
Holy right. Shit. You didn't get that right?
I did not.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
I was just like, okay, what year? Fuck. As soon as they put it up there, I didn't.
The only reason I even hesitated was because Eli got traded, and I had to think. I'm like, wait,
Eli and Peyton were both number one.
They got traded, but they were both number one.
Yes,
so,
they were. Yeah. So I fucked that up. You crushed it.
What did you say?
I didn't say. I was like, you
shit yourself.
That's not how I would.
I mean, I'm saying you literally. Yeah. But I mean, you shit the bed.
I did not. Fuck you. We're out.
You pissed yourself.
We have had a
no,
lot
no,
of
no, no. Let's just, I'll just say. So what was your thought process?
Another way to make me look like him. Fuck you, Steve. I love you. Happy birthday. Great whiskey tonight at Whiskey
hey,
Congress.
Are you going to meet us tomorrow for drinks after dinner?
Yes.
All right,
oh, go. Wait, where?
What? After dinner. Downtown.
I will try.
Velvet Tango Room?
We'll talk about this. I do have a commitment tomorrow.
A commitment? A date?
No, I have a friend who's escort? Mad at me. An ex who wants me at her
escort. I will accept escort or date. Not mad friend.
This is the end of this episode of Whiskey.
You're going to piss off your partner. Your podcast partner.
We are out of this. Oh my goodness. I did not get that right.
Jesus Christ. Are you drinking?
Yes, but...
yes, but that's no excuse.
It is not an excuse. It should be. It is not an excuse.
I mean, that literally took me 2 seconds.
It did because
So I was watching it during the Ohio State.
Oh, it was on TV?
Yes. Hold on. We're